I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. Maybe the hardest thing for us here to accept about the refugees fleeing Syria is that they're a lot like you and me, and not just that they're human beings. They dress like us, they have or had families and jobs like us. One woman here in Boston who recently volunteered in a refugee camp in Eastern Europe noticed this when she saw a woman try to enter the camp.
The police started questioning her. She was speaking in English, and frankly, she could have been my next-door neighbor. I mean, she spoke good English. She was, you know, dressed like I would dress walking in Cambridge.
That's Lee Steffi Jenkins. We'll hear more from her tomorrow on the show and her experience bringing clothing to Syrians in a transit camp in Macedonia. Today, though, what Syrians back home are going through as the war there is about to head into year six. We're going to hear stories about the impact of the conflict on people's lives. With so many men killed or missing, a lot of the burden in the country has fallen on women, especially in rebel-held areas. In some cases, women find themselves running their communities. That's a new thing for many of them. Reporter Rasha Elas is based in Washington. She recently spoke via Skype with two young women in different parts of Syria who've taken on new roles and responsibilities. They've asked that we use only their first names to protect their families.
Twenty-five-year-old Zain says she won't leave Aleppo. The shelling in the background is a daily occurrence for her, but she says she does important work, so she's staying.
I learned how to stitch wounds, how to remove shrapnel. With the shortage of medical staff, we have taught ourselves the basic of triage very quickly. There were times when we couldn't walk because the floor was full of wounded people.
A few months ago, the Syrian government carried out an airstrike on the field hospital, and several of Zain's activist friends were killed. Now she spends most of her time doing humanitarian relief work. Zain heads an all-male team of aid workers, and she says she's usually the one who goes up to the front line to deliver the food and medicine to civilians stranded there. The war forced her to live by herself, away from her parents, which is highly unusual. Even before the war, both men and women typically lived at home until they got married. But Zain's parents are stuck in rural Aleppo under the control of Islamic State. I ask her how the war has changed things for women like her in what's largely a conservative Muslim society. She gives me a couple of examples.
Before the war, women mainly stayed at home, cooking and caring for the family. Now, men work in field hospital. Well, so do I, even though field hospitals are constantly targeted with the shelling. Men have started to carry arms. Well, we have in Aleppo an all-women's brigade, and they fight on the front line. I'm not necessarily for the idea of carrying arms, but this has really changed perceptions that a woman can do anything a man can do.
Still, in some of the hardest-hit areas, the lives of women have regressed, like in the rebel-held Damascus suburb of Ghouta. The area has been under siege for almost 4 years, enduring government airstrikes and cluster bomb attacks. In August of 2013, it became known as the site of a chemical attack. Women there now scavenge for firewood. They wash clothes by hand and spend hours making bread from scratch. And child marriage, which was rare before the war, is on the rise again. Maimouna is a 30-year-old activist who's fighting that trend. She heads a child welfare organization and oversees schools that are struggling to stay open.
We were shocked the other day when a 12-year-old stopped coming to school. And we learned that her family wants to marry her off. We try to intervene in these cases, but it's very difficult. Parents feel relieved to have one less mouth to feed.
Despite the daily risks, Maimouna says the extreme needs of the community have forced even the least educated women to get involved in running things. She describes women in their 30s, 40s, even older, enrolling in adult education to earn their high school diploma.
Seeing them sitting in school chairs with that look in their eyes as if to say they haven't missed the train at all, that it's in their hands to change, to improve, to learn, it was very moving to witness that. and I let them know how proud I am of them.
Many have gone on to work in field hospitals or schools. Perhaps this is a silver lining, she says. After all, the Syrian revolution is also a revolution for women. And when the war is over, she says, women's accomplishments will remain. For The World, I'm Rasha Elas.
If you've got questions about what life is like for women in Syria right now that were not answered in Rasha's story, pop over to our Facebook page and ask. We're in contact with young women activists in Damascus and Aleppo who are standing by to respond. We'll handle all the translation. That's happening now at facebook.com/PRI The World.